Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're wading into what feels like, the most fascinating tech conflict of 2026.
The big one.
It really is. It's this battle for data supremacy.
Yeah.
And it's being waged through miniaturization. On one side, you've got the Aura Ring 5, elegant, almost invisible tracking.
And on the other, the Galaxy Watch 8, it's a total powerhouse, an entire ecosystem on your wrist.
Exactly. But this is more than just specs, right? The sources we dug into, they show this fundamental conflict in design philosophy.
That's the core of it. It's maximum comfort and, let's say, stealth versus maximum interaction and pure utility. They're betting on two completely different futures.
So our mission today is to unpack all of this analysis. We've got articles on engineering, sensor science, economics, and filter it down. The goal is for you to figure out which of these devices actually fits your biology, your lifestyle, and, your wallet.
And you have to remember that every single design choice here is a trade-off. Aura is banking on you forgetting it's even there.
While Samsung, with the watch, is betting you want all that capability right there, right now.
Constant feedback, constant interaction. They couldn't be more different.
Okay, so let's start where the battle begins. The hardware. Let's unpack the engineering.
Let's do it.
The Aura Ring 5 is, it's called a masterpiece of miniaturization in almost every source. We're talking about a chassis forged from grade 5 titanium.
Which is, just for context, almost as tough as industrial steel. It's not going to bend.
And it's coated in this diamond-like carbon, the DLC coating.
Yeah, that DLC coating isn't just marketing fluff. It's what gives the ring its aesthetic resilience. It's a process, a PVD, physical vapor deposition.
So it's hardened the surface against, keys in your pocket, micro-scratches?
Exactly that. Daily wear and tear. And the miniaturization itself is just incredible. They use this flexible PCB technology.
So they're basically wrapping the motherboard around your finger.
They are. And that's how they keep the thickness down to just 1.8 millimeters. And the weight, it's a mere 2.8 grams.
Wow. I imagine you could really, truly forget you're wearing it.
You absolutely could. Now, contrast that with the Galaxy Watch 8. The sources call the 46-millimeter classic model a luxury tank.
A luxury tank. I like that. Stainless steel body, sapphire crystal glass. And it still has that iconic rotating bezel, right?
It does, though it's a bit slimmed down.
Yeah.
But it's still there, that physical interaction. But the weight, 55 grams.
So 55 grams is definitely noticeable, especially if you're trying to track light sleep.
Absolutely. The watch needs that bulk, though. It's where the bigger battery goes, the powerful haptic motor for vibrations. All things the ring just can't offer.
Which is a huge point. The Aura Ring 5 still has no vibration feature.
None at all. So if 24/7 comfort is your number one priority, the ring wins, hands down. But if you need that instant feedback, a silent alarm, a notification buzz, the watch is irreplaceable. That's a huge functional difference right out of the gate.
Let's move to the sensor autopsy, because this is where things get really interesting and kind of flip conventional wisdom on its head.
Right. Bigger doesn't always mean better.
You'd assume the bigger device, the watch, with the bigger battery, just has more accurate sensors. But the sources make a really strong case for the finger. What's the biological argument there? Why does the finger win the signal battle?
It's purely anatomical. The index finger, where the ring sits, is just a superior location for raw data quality.
Because of the arteries.
Exactly. You have two main arteries running extremely close to the skin's surface. And, crucially, there's very little subcutaneous fat there to interfere, to muddy the signal between the sensor and your blood flow.
So the signal is just cleaner from the very start, less noise.
Precisely. The signal-to-noise ratio, the measurement of the data you want versus all the junk, it's approximately 10 times stronger in the finger than on the wrist.
10 times. That's a staggering number.
It really is. And the Aura 5 leans into this advantage. It's got new deep infrared and red LED sensors, and they can measure heart rate variability, HRV, with an accuracy that the sources say rivals hospital-grade ECG machines. At rest, anyway.
So if the signal is that much cleaner, what does that mean for me practically, for my recovery score?
It means higher confidence in the small, subtle changes. If your HRV drops by a single millisecond, the ring is far more likely to see that as a true physiological event. A wrist sensor might just write that off as, movement noise.
Okay, so for the biohackers, the people who obsess over recovery data, that raw accuracy is everything.
It's paramount.
So gold standard recovery data, that goes to the finger. But the wrist isn't dead yet. What's the Watch 8 bring to the table to compete?
The watch's ace card is surface area. Well, the finger gives you, let's call it, superior signal quality. The broad, flat back of the watch allows for a much more complex stack of sensors.
We're talking about the new Bioactive Sensor 3.0.
We are. It's the sophisticated collection of optical, electrical, and bioimpedance sensors all layered together.
And what can that advanced stack do that a tiny ring physically cannot?
Well, it can do things that require a wider contact area. It can beam light much deeper, for one. But it can also send tiny electrical signals across the body. This lets it measure advanced metrics like body composition analysis, your fat-to-muscle percentage.
The BIA measurement.
And estimated blood pressure. As long as you calibrate it with a cuff now and then, the ring's contact area is just too small to even attempt those measurements accurately.
So it's a trade-off. The watch trades that signal clarity for a broader range of utilities.
That's the perfect way to put it. Deep body comp and active monitoring. Watch wins. Gold standard recovery and HRV. The ring has the biological edge.
Let's shift gears. Longevity and cost. This starts with the Achilles heel of all tiny electronics, right? Battery degradation.
Hey, yeah. The marketing promises 7 days for the ring, 48 hours for the watch. But we have to look past the pitch and at the actual chemistry.
And the ring, because of its tiny size, it runs into some real trouble here.
It's pure physics. The Oura Ring 5 has a tiny, custom-curved lithium polymer battery. It's about 22 milliamp hours.
That's tiny.
It is. And the fundamental problem with small battery cells is that they have fewer total charge cycles before the capacity loss gets really steep. The data suggests that after just 2 years of daily use, that capacity could drop by a whopping 40%.
And you can't replace it. It's sealed in resin.
It's permanently sealed. So that aesthetic masterpiece, it starts to feel like a countdown timer. After about 3 years, the device basically becomes functional e-waste.
It's just a fundamental trade-off for getting that small.
It is. Meanwhile, the Galaxy Watch, with its much larger 425 milliampere I cell, it handles heat better, it degrades much, much slower, and they added 15-watt fast wireless charging.
So you can top it up in, what, half an hour?
About 30 minutes, yeah. So you charge it more often, but the device itself will have a much longer physical lifespan.
So we have these totally different life cycles. What does that mean for the wallet?
Mm.
Let's contrast the business models, because the total cost of ownership is pretty deceptive.
They're two completely different strategies. You've got the Oura model, which is basically hardware as a service.
Right. You pay $350 for the ring up front, but that's just the ticket to get in the door.
That's it. To get the key features, the deep sleep data, your readiness scores, the illness detection, you have to pay a mandatory $6 a month subscription.
So you're basically renting the analytics. Without that fee, the ring is, what, a fancy step counter?
It's severely limited, yeah.
Yeah.
Then you have Samsung's model, Data for All. The watch is a bit more expensive up front, maybe $400, but Samsung Health is completely free.
And their monetization is just selling the hardware and using the data to train their AI.
Exactly. So if you look at the long game, let's say a 5-year commitment, which is reasonable for a flagship watch.
The total cost of ownership has to favor the watch, right?
By a lot. Over 5 years, the Oura user is going to spend about $360 just in subscription fees. Yep. That's on top of the initial hardware cost. And you'll probably have to replace the ring at least once in that time because of the battery.
So it ends up being significantly more expensive, even with the lower sticker price.
It does. And that's a crucial factor for you as the listener to really consider.
Okay, let's talk about a really specific use case now. One the source is called the Gym Forbidden Zone.
Ah, yes. For anyone who lifts heavy weights, this is a deal breaker. It's the unavoidable Achilles heel of any smart ring.
But wait, it's made of grade 5 titanium? I mean, surely it can handle a barbell.
The material strength isn't the problem. Your hand is the problem. When you grip a heavy bar for a deadlift or a bench press, the immense pressure causes two immediate issues.
Okay.
First, the steel bar will cause superficial scratching on the titanium ring. Friction's intense. Second, and way more important, you get painful skin pinching. Or calluses develop right where that rigid ring is being pressed into your flesh under a massive load.
Ouch. So you can't wear it for serious lifting.
You really can't. Which makes the watch, especially with those debuckle silicone bands, the king of the gym. It's built for that. Its AI can count your reps. It recognizes the exercise. It even manages your rest times automatically. The ring actively gets in the way.
Let's talk about AI. The role of generative AI in these 2026 wearables, because this is where the devices start to offer really different kinds of insights.
Yeah, this really gets to the question of what you want your AI to do for you. Aura's AI, they call it the Aura Advisor, is all about predictive, specific health advice.
And its killer feature is that illness prediction.
It is. The chatbot analyzes your nightly readings, compares them to your personal baseline, and gives you a text insight like, your body temp was half a degree Celsius higher last night and your HRV was low. You might be fighting something off. Take it easy today.
That's real-time personalized health advice.
Highly personalized. Now, contrast that with Galaxy AI. It's much more focused on convenience and functional interaction.
It calculates an energy score. I saw that.
It does, which is holistic. But the truly futuristic feature is the double pinch gesture control.
So you can just tap your thumb and index finger together in midair without touching the screen.
Without touching anything. And that gesture lets you dismiss an alarm, answer a phone call, scroll through notifications. It's true hands-free interaction. It's magic when your hands are full or, you know, wet from a run.
So Aura is predictive health. Samsung is functional convenience.
Ah, perfect summary.
Okay, let's bring it all together. We've looked at engineering, sensors, business models. It's time for the final verdict. Who wins?
Let's be blunt. Neither device is objectively the best. It really, truly depends entirely on your lifestyle and what you prioritize.
So who should choose the Aura 5?
The Aura 5 is the winner for biohackers, people who put sleep quality and recovery data above everything else. It's also perfect for people who love wearing a classic mechanical watch on one wrist and want a screen-free experience on the other. It's the device for a digital detox.
And the downside?
The subscription cost, for sure. And the fact that it's useless for heavy weightlifting.
Okay, and who's the ideal user for the Galaxy Watch 8?
The Galaxy Watch 8 is the clear winner for serious athletes. Runners, swimmers, lifters. Anyone who needs GPS and detailed active metrics. It's also superior for anyone needing active monitoring like ECG, body composition, and fall detection. And of course, if you're deep in the Samsung ecosystem, it wins.
The major downside being you have to charge it every 2 days, and it's bulky for sleep tracking.
That's the trade-off.
That gives you a really clear map. But as we wrap up, I want to leave you with one final thought from the sources. What if the future isn't either?
Ah, the Tekken Plus recommendation. This is fascinating. Samsung actually enabled a feature called Ring and Watch Sync. The devices can talk to each other.
So if you wear both devices, what happens?
Well, by letting the watch handle all the heavy lifting Bluetooth notifications, the screen, and letting the ring focus purely on what it does best, that superior raw data capture from the finger, the combined system gets significantly better.
And the final answer nugget from the source is that sensor accuracy improves by an average of 30%.
30%.
Yeah.
And the ring's battery lasts substantially longer because it's not doing the hard work of communication.
So perhaps the real future isn't choosing between your finger and your wrist.
Yeah.
But using them both.
The ultimate biometric setup might just be ring and watch. Something to mull over until our next deep dive.